News Talk Radio, News 91.9. It's McClain in the Morning. Now, here's Tyler McClain.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 9 o'clock. You're listening to McClain in the Morning. We're on Twitter at McClain in the AM. And on Facebook, search us out, McClain in the Morning. Check us out there and like us on Facebook. And thanks for listening again. If you read the paper anywhere in this province, you'll notice that this week, especially if you're one of those online junkies and you like to get your news online, and you've read the paper online, you've noticed that a lot of the local papers are now under a paywall. And that's got some people asking questions and wondering what to do next as far as how they'll consume news in a day, because not everybody is obviously going to subscribe to that. Some will, some won't. And that also limits the difference in the news coverage that you have access to for free. We talk about a free press. We talk about something called the Moncton Free Press, which is a new startup. Stephen Downs joins us on the program to talk about that. Good morning, Stephen. Can you hear me?
Hi, Tyler. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks for doing this. Now, you've thought about this since last fall, about maybe getting some other online source or even a print version of a different paper back into the greater Moncton area?
Oh, that's right. I think the Moncton area is underserved. The news media, we need a voice that belongs to us, the voice of the people of Moncton. And so doing it online is the way to go. And like you said, we've been thinking about it for a while.
So did you know at that time, when you say for a while, did you know at that time that a lot of these Irving papers would be going under a paywall online, so that either you would be forced to get the subscription to your door, or you could buy one out on the street, or if you wish to read it online, you're going to have to pay for it?
Well, it's a bit of a coincidence. We actually started discussing it on Facebook a few days before JSource broke the story, and that would be like late November. We knew that there was a need for an alternative voice before newspaper announced, actually it was never formally announced in the newspaper.
If you weren't paying attention, yeah, it would have just sort of happened to you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, isn't it? But that's exactly the sort of thing, right? The newspaper never covered the fact that it's going behind a paywall. And it's that sort of coverage that led us to the belief that we need, you know, a more open, a more free form of media in the city.
So you put the word out, as early as November,
right.
And who got back to you?
Well, there's a small group of us. There's six people in addition to myself who have been meeting to prepare this. I expect the group will be larger. There's 35 people have liked us on Facebook. Again, it's a very small group, but we haven't really announced anything. But there is a group of people that are willing to put an effort into getting this thing off the ground.
And as far as what they do, are these just concerned citizens who share sort of the same aspects that you do, that Moncton needs a free press and an accessible press and something that can be circulated or put online that can be digested without having to pay a cent or really anything at all?
Well, there's a pretty good cross-section. So, you know, I mean, for six people, it's about as much of a cross-section as you can get. There's some young, some old, some English, some French, some male, some female. So it's quite a representative group in that sense. A number of them were associated with the Occupy movement, and the Occupy movement and the coverage of that in the media was a bit of an impetus to get this going. I've been thinking about this for a long time, years. It was just this movement and the idea that, you know, now is the time to make a difference. How do you make a difference in the city? Well, the biggest thing that it needs is a free press.
Well, when you talk about who's involved, how many of these people are classically trained as journalists from a journalist institution?
Probably none of them.
Does that worry you?
You can't even run a check.
Yeah, well, I would, because does that worry you?
No, it doesn't. The question comes up, do you have to have professionally trained journalists? How do you maintain quality? Things like that. Obviously I prefer people prepared to write. I prefer people who have a nose for the news. But of more importance to me, I think, are people who are on the spot, in the know, members of the community, are going to write with an authentic voice. The concerns about, you know, the skill level can be addressed. You know, we can run workshops on how to write a better news story. We can work with people, you know, with the community on having the participation, the people who are participating in the initiative watch out for the quality. It's the community that will make this work in this way. So,
you're right. I think ultimately it's going to be the community that judges this as a piece to see really if it's newsworthy. The one contention I have, and follow me with this, and let's talk about it, is when you talk about being the first and on things, and I understand that because this is the news culture that we live in now, is that you've got to have things first, but the more important thing is that you've got to have things fast and factual on top of that. And in our haste sometimes as journalists to put things on the air or to put things in print, I have seen people stop, and it doesn't matter in what environment, and the objective thinking clicks in, and that university gear or that diploma course kicks in and says, hey, you know, I'm trained to think about, wait a second, I've got to think about everything that I'm putting on the air here or everything that we're going to put into print and make sure that it's A, factual, B, represents as many sides as we can get into the story and that we're continuing to follow those leads, and then make sure that it's up as fast as possible because you're right, you want to follow in the daily news cycle. But at some points, if you're dealing with people that aren't trained, you could be liable.
I love the way you toss that last four words, or you got four words in there just before the voice.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's you get in the rush, you get in the cycle, you get into air, you get into print, but then you got to stop and say, is it right? And are what we doing, is that right? Are we telling people the right thing here?
Yeah, but let's understand what we're doing, right? We are publishing, or posting online, more accurately, accounts by people will be close to the story. We're not pretending to do what you've just described, go out, interview a bunch of people, and come up with some sort of objective account. That's not the point here. The point here is to give people a voice, and how they use that voice is up to them. And I think there are plenty of legal protections for an organization that operates in that way. And in fact, I'm not sure that there's a legal requirement to do it the way you've described it. In fact, I'm pretty sure there isn't. There are always...
I know that I'm governed by a broadcast standards council that...
There will be a process in place to make sure, you know, that we're not putting stuff that will get us into legal trouble on the website, just like any website.
Yeah, exactly, because there are news chasers out there and people that want a hound to get things quick and tell people this, that, or the other thing, but they don't stop and check the facts. And I think that's the worry of, I think, a lot of journalists who are trained in doing this profession, is that they want to make sure that what they go to air with or what they go to print with is correct. And you're wondering that if you have a jumble of folks that are coming together, and you're right, to provide a new voice, and that's great, but you just want to make sure that all the checks and balances are there so that if something was to happen, that you're good. And everyone else understands. Because bottom line, the consumer is the person who buys your product or reads your product or listens to it or watches it or whatever. That's the person who's going to make up their mind. But there is an influence there, and that's the thing. When someone is trained to put that forward, they will oftentimes make sure that someone is getting the most accurate information. That's all I'm asking.
Well, that's a nice statement and a nice speech, but it doesn't reflect current state of affairs in Moncton. Any person in Moncton could give you lots of examples. I'll give you one where in the afternoon I read in our local newspaper that Moncton is not consulting on its vision plan, and then the evening I went down to City Hall and took part in the consultations for the vision plan. It's one thing to talk about how traditional journalists has these standards of objectivity. It's another thing to observe who gets covered, how they get covered, and what that coverage says. I mean, You know, I'm not going to go into, you know, slagging the radio station or slagging the newspaper. Radio station is very happy to play interviews with people who are basically lobbyists from funded, quote-unquote, research groups. Now, I did notice the other day you ran an interview with someone from the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives, so there's some little sense of balance, more balance than in the newspaper, but there's an awful lot of this reporting that is simply not factual and simply not accurate. And even more to the point, one of the things that's really pushed me toward doing this is that the range of coverage is simply not there. I'm totally tired of finding out about events after the fact. I'm totally tired of not hearing about events at all that happened in this community, because the coverage is very narrow and very predicated on a certain set of interests. And, you know, there is good coverage of Moncton overall, but you can't depend on a single source of media for that. So on the one hand, there's lots of ways we can be looking online to be seeing what's happening, and that provides a check and a balance for us. We can't simply go out and pop off with something that's out of left field, because there is all that other media out there, and we'll be looking at that, we'll be linking to that.
So do you see yourself as more of an aggregate then for news?
There's definitely an aggregation component to it, and there should be, because there isn't such a thing now. But it's also going to be articles written by people on the ground. And exactly how that transpires will be up to the community. And that's really what makes this different, is the way we manage these sort of things will be up to the membership. It'll be up to those people in this community who are working on this newspaper and making it happen.
Well, Stephen, we're just out of time here because we have to take a break and move on, but it's an interesting concept. I wish you good luck, and we will check in with you down the road to see how it goes, because as we mentioned, a lot of the newspapers in this area have now gone under a paywall, and you'd like to keep a free and open voice out there online. I commend you for that, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. MonctonFreePress.ca.
And that's the website. Stephen Downs, thanks for doing this. Although I almost have to respectfully disagree about just putting things together and jumbling them and throwing them online, but maybe that'll have to be a learning experience for them to find out as they start off. But hey, any new voice is a good voice. It's up to you to make the decision about what's important, but I will always help you in talking about what's important, and that's what we do on this show. We're coming back.
McLean in the Morning with Tyler McLean.